Blog Talk Radio.
3, 2, 1. Hello, everyone. I'm Simon Applebaum, simulcasting live from New York on Blog Talk Radio, Spreaker, and TuneIn Radio, and present on Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Amazon Music, the iRadio Podcast Network, Spotify, iTunes, and other leading podcast destinations. This just in, it's the day after Christmas, 2022, and tomorrow will be televised. And whether you are marking that occasion, or you're finishing up Hanukkah, or starting Kwanzaa this week, we welcome you on this Monday afternoon, the last Monday afternoon of 2022, to the program all about TV's current and future. It's great to have you with us. 28 degrees at the top of the hour. Sunshine is happening, despite the cold, here in the New York metro area. And we are expected, in the course of the week, to get up to the 50s. We may have, not only the hottest New Year's Eve in quite some time, we may have the wettest. We'll find out more on Saturday. Again, it's great to have you with us. And today, given this is our next to last episode of the year, we're going to have some very special features for you. We're going to have our annual salute. Tomorrow will be televised remembers to the men and women in front of and behind the television camera who passed away this year. We'll also have two chances to catch our classic trivia question and see if you can win our last two prizes that we are offering in 2022. And we're also going to offer a brand new feature. We'll do that in our second half hour. But first, we want to let you know that throughout the day, we do want to hear from you. And there's two ways you do it. One is to give us a call. And when you do, you use this number, 646-652-2906. That's 646-652-2906. The number is good anywhere you're catching us across the country or around the globe here on Blog Talk Radio, Spreaker, and TuneIn Radio. And we've got our chat room in business for you, so if you're shy about the phone, yep, you got another way for you. So it's a chat room. It's SimonApple04 by name, and you will find that room at our homepage, blogtalkradio.com/televised. And as always, while the promo is on the air, you can interconnect with others by using Facebook Timeline. Click on the Facebook icon, your Blog Talk Radio Spreaker or TuneIn screen, and other people can be live with you. And we'll get to all of our features today after these news notes. Yes, we do have news notes for you on this next to last episode of our program, day after Christmas, 2022. And the Hollywood Reporter went on the limb this day after Christmas, the limb of note, suggesting 10 scripted series making their debut next year that will be 2023's big new hits or big misses. In alphabetical order, they are Citadel on Prime Video, Dear Edward, which will premiere in February on Apple TV+, Fatal Attraction from Paramount+, The Idol on HBO Max, The Last of Us on HBO, Poker Face on Peacock, Queen Charlotte, that's the Bridgerton spinoff from Shonda Rhimes on Netflix, Shogun, FX, Shrinking, that's also on Apple TV+, and The Three-Body Problem, that's the Netflix series, the first one under the contract from the creators of Game of Thrones, David Benhoff and D.B. Weiss. Now, three of them, The Last of Us, Poker Face, and Shrinking, will launch next month on their respective services. Now, quickies, Chris Rock's live Netflix comedy special, Selective Outrage, will premiere March 9th. Rock will do his stand-up act from Baltimore, and the promos for that show start appearing in various TV places this weekend. Prime Video will offer the second season of the animated The Legend of Vox Machina, January 20th. The 1619 Project docuseries, long planned by Lionsgate, comes to Hulu January 26th. And Discovery Channel's New Year's Day lineup includes an original series premiere, Sewer Divers. And that is news notes for today. Before we get to our annual Tomorrow Be Televised Remembers segment, let's give you our classic trivia question. First of two opportunities to solve the question and see if you can be our last trivia winner of the year. Again, the way it works is this. We give you the question. If you're first with the correct answer by email, you will win two prizes. One of them is the wonderful Taylor Swift CD, Speak Now, one of her very best, and from our recent guest, Sheldon Epps, the famed TV and theater director, we've got the best-selling book, My Own Direction, The Black Man's Journey in the American Theater, published by McFarlane. Sheldon was on our show a few weeks ago. He was terrific, and his latest project, the BET Plus movie Christmas Party Crashers, that premiered last month, premiered on BET and BET Her in the Special Simulcast this past Friday night, the eve before Christmas Eve. And both of those prizes can be yours if you know the answer to this question. On The Walking Dead, Rick Grimes was sheriff of what county or what location? On The Walking Dead, Rick Grimes was sheriff of what location? We need the exact location and the state for the answer. If you know the answer, email me, simonapple04@yahoo.com. That's simonapple04@yahoo.com. Don't forget to enclose your name and where you are emailing from. And if you are first with the correct answer, you will win both the Taylor Swift Speak Now CD and the book from Sheldon Epps, My Own Directions, A Black Man's Journey in the American Theater. Remember, in order to win, you got to be in, so get to that email as soon as you can. And if we don't get a winner by the end of today, we will post the question tomorrow morning on Facebook and Twitter. Facebook at Simon Applebaum and Twitter at UBC Simon TWBT. That's UBC Simon TWBT. Remember, like I said before, in order to win, you got to play in. So do so, and all the very, very best. For many years, one of the hallmarks of Turner Classic Movies is a featurette that comes out the last few weeks of the year. It's called TCM Remembers. And it's a very simple 4-5 minute vignette that pays tribute, a final tribute, to the men and women behind the motion picture camera in the film world who passed away over the last 12 months. It is probably the best in memoriam tribute of any place, anywhere. And it's done, I don't know who does it, but whoever does it, it's very comprehensive. It's always done to a very melancholy, wistful song. It's beautifully put together. You get both pictures and you get, in some cases, dialogue of the from the people involved. And once again, the current episode, which broke over the weekend, is really marvelous. You can also see, if you don't get Turner Classic Movies, you can see the segment on YouTube, and it is really, really beautiful. And as regular listeners know, I've been so inspired by this project over the years. In fact, I'm so inspired by it that I wish that the Oscars and the Emmy Award people would use this and use the people involved to create the in memoriam segments they do, and they'd be far better and have no issues, no controversies if they did. It's so inspiring to see this that a number of years ago, we decided, let's do something like this for television. Let's do the best we can, given our resources, and let's do a similar deal. And that's what we've done over the last, I believe it's now 7-8 years, to do this Tomorrow Will Be Televised segment. We divide it into two parts, the people behind the television camera and then the people in front of the TV camera. We try to make it as comprehensive as possible. We know we cannot get everybody in the time allotted. We try to give everybody their due, and we'd like to hear from you. And by the way, if you have any thoughts about the people that we talk about between now and the end of the half hour, well, give us a call, 646-652-2906, or use the chat room, SimonApple04 by name. We'd love to hear from you. And if there are special memories you have of some of the people that we talk about, we'd like to hear from you, and we'd like your contribution, and we do appreciate it. So here we go. This is Tomorrow Will Be Televised Remembers for 2022. And we begin with a game show producer by the name of Jay Wolpert. He was one of the people who got The Price is Right back on the air in 1972 with Bob Barker as the host on CBS, and it is now the longest-running game show and really one of the longest-running programs, daily programs, in television history. This year, it is in its 51st year, hosted by Drew Carey. Jay was a fixture on The Price is Right as both producer, then executive producer for the first decade or so. And then in the 1980s, he formed his own production company, and he had some hits and he had some clunkers. But he always tried to expand the game show art. Two of my favorites was Shopping Spree on the Family Channel, ran two seasons, and something that's a cult favorite for a lot of people, hosted by Tom Kennedy, which ran for about a year on CBS. Dick Carson was Johnny Carson's brother. He also, at one point, was not only the director of Tonight Show, but he was also director of Wheel of Fortune, the primetime version with Pat Sajak and Vanna White, one of the most popular series in the history of syndication. He passed away this year. Robert Allen Ackerman was one of the top miniseries directors of the 1970s and 80s. John F. Bennett was a top executive with the History Channel and with other cable networks. She passed away this year. Douglas Trumbull is better known as one of the great special effects people in film. However, he did do some television work, and notoriously, he was going to be involved with a process called Magicam on a series called The Star Law, starring Keira Dulles, of course, from 2001 A Space Odyssey fame. The Star Law had a lot of backing behind it. 20th Century Fox, it had a big syndication lineup, and it also had Harlan Ellison as its creator. Unfortunately, Magicam did not pan out. The show had to be moved to Canada for production, and that was the beginning of a whole bunch of issues that led to the show getting terrible reviews when it premiered, many on the NBC stations, at Saturday nights at 7 o'clock, and ultimately it perished after 15 episodes. But Doug Trumbull was one of the greatest, and yes, he did make a great contribution to television as well as film. George Spiro Bible was a top cinematographer for television for many, many years, did some of the best episodic TV shows around. Beryl Virtue came from England, and she did a number of shows, particularly with the BBC and other British organizations that made it here to the United States and did quite well. John Cordy was a very good television director and documentary director, but it was his television work that particularly got attention, especially a wonderful made-for-TV movie, one of the very best ever. With Cicely Tyson's fantastic performance, he directed the autobiography of Miss Jane Pittman. He won the Emmy Award for it the year it came out, and he did other wonderful work for television, both scripted and unscripted as well. Marvin Chomsky was one of the best miniseries directors. He started out in episodic television, like other miniseries directors, and then really hit it big in miniseries, particularly with a series that was one of the all-time greats and one of the most controversial, Holocaust, on NBC. He was the director of that series. He won the Emmy Award for it, and he did marvelous, marvelous work. Some people know Walter Koblenz as the producer of the acclaimed and Oscar-winning movie All the President's Men, which sometimes you can see on Turner Classic Movies. But he also was one of the early producers for Lee Rich's production company for television, Lorimar, and he did some of their very best shows as a producer. George Shapiro was one of the key executive producers on Seinfeld. He did a great job with that series, one of the all-time great television comedies. Bob Rafelson, many people know him as a film director for such work as Five Easy Pieces and The King of Marvin Gardens. But he was also a top television producer in the 1960s, worked particularly with Screen Gems, and he was, with his partner at the time, Bert Schneider, the executive producers of one of the most unique comedy series ever made in the 60s, The Monkees. Some people call it the first music video-based television comedy. It won the Emmy Award. It's still one of the few rock and roll shows ever to win an Emmy, and Bob Rafelson was one of the big minds behind it. If you remember the Twilight Zone episode, The Monsters Are Due on Maple Street, one of the best ever in the first season, you may remember an actor who had a very long face who was very distinctive in that show. His name was Burt Metcalf. Metcalf did not really do very well as an actor after that appearance, and he was very good in that episode, along with Claude Akins and a terrific ensemble cast. But he did make it big as a TV producer, particularly with MASH. He was one of the top producers and writers of that show for its 11 years, award-winning years, on CBS. Heather Gray was the executive producer of The Talk, CBS's answer to The View, still out there going after, still going well after over a decade. And Jessica Klein was one of the people behind Beverly Hills 90210, worked with Aaron Spelling on that series in its great early years on Fox. Zach Estrin, who I believe we interviewed on this program a number of years ago, he was the person that revived Lost in Space for Netflix, and it ran three seasons and did quite well. Dale McRaven was one of the great comedy writers and variety series writers in the 60s and 70s. He had his hand in many a television series, including a show called Mork and Mindy, which he created. Yes, he was responsible for Robin Williams' great rise to television on that ABC series. Another top comedy writer who passed away this year was Gene Perrette. He won several Emmy Awards for his work on The Carol Burnett Show, and he was involved in a number of the top comedies of the 70s and 80s, including Three's Company. Later on, he wrote a wonderful book, which I still have, called The Ten Commandments of Comedy. He wrote for some of the giants in comedy and comedy television, Bob Hope, Phyllis Diller, I mentioned Carol Burnett, Tim Conway, and others. And this is what Phyllis Diller had to say in cover of The Ten Commandments of Comedy. Gene Perrette is the world's top authority on comedy writing, thinking, and presentation. He also wrote another book called The New Comedy, Writing Step by Step. He was one of the best, and people who worked with him will tell you he had a great heart as well. George Newall was one of the founders of a very popular animated short called Schoolhouse Rock. It ran for many, many years on ABC Saturday morning programming, and some of the tunes were classics. He passed away this year. Also on the comedy writing front was a man named Carl Kleinsmith. He wrote some of the best episodes of the Dick Van Dyke Show and other great comedies of the 60s. He created a few comedies in the 1970s, including The Sandy Duncan Show and Funny Face. Both lasted only a year, and both were on CBS. Angelo Badalamenti, David Lynch's go-to composer. If you love Twin Peaks, he was one of the big reasons why. His music was unforgettable and haunting. And finally, Gabrielle Beaumont, one of the first women to direct episodic television. She was nominated for her work in the first season on Hill Street Blues, but she also did a lot of work with Aaron Spelling on shows like Dynasty, Fantasy Island, The Love Boat, and many, many more, and paved the way for so many other women to make their mark in television, whether in miniseries, made-for-TV movies, or episodic television. And she, like everyone else we've quoted off-camera, will be missed. And now it's time for the on-camera people that we saw pass away this year. And boy, oh boy, so many great ones. And we start with a Holocaust survivor by the name of Robert Clary. He did very well in episodic TV, and many of you may know him and still know him as being one of Hogan's heroes, or his work on various soap operas, daytime dramas in the 1970s and beyond when Hogan's Heroes came to an end. He was a very amazing man, and like I said, he was a survivor and a thriver in so many ways. Kirstie Alley passed away recently. Of course, she not only made it big in movies, but she made it big on television, succeeding Shelley Long on Cheers, doing other shows as well, some that she starred in. A really terrific comedy performer. And then there's Sidney Poitier. Yes, I know, more film, but he also did television, and when he did, he brought to it his dignity, humanity, in such roles as Thurgood Marshall in the acclaimed movie Separate But Equal. Sidney Poitier was one of the great actors of all time. No matter where you saw him on film or television, you always knew you were going to get a great performance, a performance that had nuance, that had class, that had integrity and dignity. And he was sensational. Bob Saget. We first saw him as one of the morning program personalities, along with Rollin Smith and Marriott Hartley. The show didn't last too long on CBS as an alternative to other morning programs, but Bob did continue in two great ways, as the original host of America's Funniest Home Videos and also as one of the stars of Full House, both on ABC. The man who played Dobie Gillis passed away this year, Dwayne Hickman. He had a four-season run on that series. He also was one of the co-stars of the Bob Cummings show, Love That Bob, in the mid-1950s. Ran 5 years on that show. And from there went to Dobie Gillis. He also was a behind-the-scenes executive at CBS and other places. And he never felt himself typecast as Dobie or and Love That Bob. He was always terrific. One of the brightest people in the world of television and radio passed away this year. And I want to talk a little bit more about him. His name is Ralph Emery. Ralph Emery was the ambassador to country music from Nashville. He got his start as an overnight disc jockey. He then became one of the personalities of the Nashville Network with his show Nashville Now, a live 90-minute show that ran for a whole bunch of years on that service throughout the 1980s. And Ralph also was one of the people who pioneered country music on television through his work on Pop Goes the Country, one of the longest-running variety shows of its kind, syndicated to TV stations around the country by Showbiz. But there's something else you should know about Ralph Emery. He was a very, very kind person. Nashville Now opened with a live episode here in New York. I couldn't make it because I couldn't. Nashville Network did a press conference in New York to talk about the service and what it was going to do. And I couldn't make it because of work at Cablevision Magazine. Well, after lunch, guess who showed up? Ralph Emery, along with Cheryl Daly, publicist at Westinghouse and the National Network at the time, and other people too. And it was just a pleasure to talk to this man. For him to take time out from his schedule to see me and the people at our magazine, Cablevision Magazine at the time, who could not make that event, was really something special. I will always remember Ralph Emery for that. He wrote some wonderful books about his work in country music. People who knew him will tell you he had a great heart. He had a great love of country music. He also helped get some of the country music personalities from pop music like Del Shannon, Jerry Lewis, others, and help them get a second career in the country music world. Ralph was a one-of-a-kind human being, one of the very, very special talents on country music television and on TV overall, and he passed away this year. I will always remember him, and I will always thank him for the great thing he did the first day the National Network got on the air here in New York. Louis Anderson, what a career. Stand-up comedian, had his own cartoon series, Life with Louis, and, of course, was the first host of Family Feud. And after so many years away from television, he made it big again, winning an Emmy Award for his amazing, unusual cross-dressing role as a mother on the FX series Baskets. Louis Anderson was an amazing talent on television. Really, really special and really something. Donald May, he was a hit as an actor in the 1950s. He was on the West Point Story for a couple of seasons, and then he got involved with a couple of Warner Brothers series, Colt 45 and The Roaring Twenties, which ran two seasons on ABC. He later became Adam Drake on The Edge of Night, one of the top daytime drama personalities in his heyday. Howard Hessman, remember him as the DJ on WKRP in Cincinnati and later the head teacher on Head of the Class on ABC? Marvelous talent. He passed away this year. Bob Beckel, one of the top Democratic operatives in the Democratic Party. He later did Crossfire. He later became a commentator and host on Fox News Channel. Always had insight, and he could be a sly person, but he was somebody who had a lot of insight and sometimes was willing to confront his party when they were not on the straight and narrow. Bob Beckel passed away this year. And then there was that lawyer you always saw from time to time on Law and Order. His name was Ned Eisenberg, wonderful theater actor, and one of the many that Dick Wolf helped on Law & Order and Law & Order Special Victims Unit and still does on Law & Order Organized Crime and the revival of Law & Order and SVU, now playing Thursday nights on NBC. Tim Considine was one of the early stars of television on the Mickey Mouse Club. Remember him from Spin and Marty and the Annette miniseries? And also, he was one of the original My Three Sons. Johnny Brown, one of the great, great, great comedians on television. He was on Laugh-In, and before that, he also was one of the people who broke the color barrier on various variety shows. Mitchell Ryan, remember him from a number of different shows, both soap operas and soap operas in primetime, not just daytime, but primetime. He passed away this year. Solid actor. Conrad Janis, I talked about earlier, Dale McRaven, who created Mark and Mindy. Well, Conrad Janis, who was a terrific actor in both drama and episodic comedy. He played Pam Dauber's father on Mork and Mindy. And Bob McGrath passed away recently, one of the great people who made Sesame Street fly as Bob the music teacher, introduced us to so many of the great songs that were on Sesame Street, like People in Your Neighborhood, and many, many more. He was also one of the stars of Sing Along with Mitch, which ran for four seasons on NBC. People who knew Bob McGrath will tell you he was the real deal. Loved kids, loved entertainment, loved to sing. Just really, really great. And also, another person from Sesame Street passed away, one of the other neighbors, Emilio Delgado. Wonderful talent. And just like Bob McGrath, a great, great favorite of kids. John Clayton, NFL college football analyst. You saw him regularly on ESPN shows. Always terrific. Joey Mitchell. Another one of the early comedians that broke the color barrier on television. He also was the co-star of one of the first shows to feature an all-black cast in the 1970s, the all-new Barefoot in the Park. Didn't last too long on ABC, but he was terrific in the Robert Redford role. Gilbert Gottfried, one of the craziest comedians you ever saw, and always entertaining, despite the craziness. And how about Robert Morse? You all know him on Broadway. People on in New York know him for all his great Broadway performances, including How to Seek This Without Really Trying. In the 1960s, he was the co-star with E.J. Pieker of a very interesting show, a great experiment on ABC called That's Life. It was a musical comedy hour that had a continuing storyline every week. He was marvelous. The show should have had more publicity. It was done before a live audience here in New York. It only ran a year. You can now catch episodes on YouTube. And I think you will see that Robert's talent was dynamite. He also did other great work in television. Before he died, he had one of his best roles ever as one of the key people on Mad Men. His final episode was really, really special. David Burney of Bridget Love Burney fame, and on the first season or two of St. Elsewhere, and much, much more. Wonderful actor. When it comes to play-by-play people, nobody could top in baseball Vin Scully. But he was much more than just a baseball play-by-play person, whether you saw him nationally on NBC's Game of the Week or locally with the Los Angeles Dodgers for many, many years, both on radio and television. He also was a terrific play-by-play person on football, with CBS, with golf, with tennis. He also hosted a game show. He was very good at it, called It Takes Two, ran a year and a half in the 70s on NBC. He also had a 13-week talk show daytime on CBS. It should have run longer. Vin Scully was a renaissance person, and not just a play-by-play person. He was really terrific. Charles Siebert, you remember him from a lot of different comedy shows, including Trapper John, M.D. Always terrific. And then there was Mark Shields, the Washington-based commentator, solo and with others. Always terrific, always great commentary. He was part of the Capital Gang, hosted that show for many years on CNN, and then later partnered with David Brook on the Friday night Capital Review, if you will, on the McNeil Air Report, and the McNeil Air News Hour, and then PBS News Hour. Tony Siragusa, one of the first field commentators on Fox's NFL Sunday and National Football League coverage. He pioneered the whole idea of doing commentary on the field. James Caan, Brian Piccolo on Brian's Song, That's All You Need to Know. And while he made his mark later in film, it was that performance that catapulted him to stardom. Adam Wade, he broke the color barrier in game shows with a program called Musical Chairs. The show didn't run long, and unfortunately that was his only time as a game show host. But if it wasn't for Adam Wade, there wouldn't be a Steve Harvey, there wouldn't be a Wayne Brady, there wouldn't be a lot of other people of color doing game shows. He was the first, and he was amazing. Corporal Agon himself, in an F Troop, Larry Storch, he passed away this year. One of the key people on Hill Street Blues, Tareen Blackay, won an Emmy Award nomination for his work on that show. He passed away this year. Paul Sorvino, Law & Order, Bert DiAngelo superstar, terrific TV talent, a fine opera singer, too. And then there was Beaver's older brother, Wally, Tony Dow. He passed away this year. Bill Russell was one of the first sports commentators on NBA basketball on ABC alongside Keith Jackson. And, of course, one of the great all-time NBA players. Nicole Nichols, Uhuru on Star Trek. What a role. Another great color barrier. And, of course, William Shatner did the first interracial kiss on network television scripted series. Pat Carroll, a terrific pioneer on both comedy and variety television, also a great game show player. Clu Gallagher, on The Virginian, also co-starred with Barry Sullivan on his own series, The Tall Man, where he played Billy the Kid. Rodri Mosley, one of the supporting actors on Magnum P.I. And William Reynolds, also a supporting actor for his role on the FBI, also did other shows as well, and also was in a Twilight Zone episode, The Purple Testament. Anne Garrels, terrific correspondent, roamed the world for ABC News, later did work on National Public Radio. And teams of news, very few people anchored the news as well as forcefully and with integrity and a stickler for the facts as Bernard Shaw and CNN. Prime News was great newscasting in the early days of CNN in the 1980s and 90s. Bernard Shaw, of course, also with Peter Arnett and John Holliman, the boys from Baghdad. His great comment, the skies over Baghdad have been illuminated. That was the warning that there was going to be a war and the U.S. was going to be involved in it. Bernard Shaw, one of the very best people in television news ever. Bill Plant, another great person in television for many, many years, the White House correspondent, CBS, from first to last, the best. Angela Lansbury, Murder, She Wrote, and much, much more. She was a wonderful star of television for so many years. She also had the wonderful performance of her Broadway role in Sweeney Todd. It's still around for everyone to see. Ron Masak, he was a supporting actor on many a comedy series in the 70s and 80s. He was terrific, no matter where you saw him. Kevin Conroy, the voice of Batman for so many years on Warner Brother cartoons in syndication. More recently, Jason David Frank. Yes. Mighty Morphin Power Rangers. the Ranger everybody loved to be around, everybody considered a role model. He passed away a few weeks ago. And so did Irene Cara, who got her start on Spanish language television in the 1960s, later was a fixture on American variety shows, and then, of course, her first claim to fame on television, one of the short circuits on The Electric Company, also did Ruth, The Next Generation, other miniseries, before she hit it big on film with films like Fame and Flashdance. Mills Lane was one of the top boxing referees, and then in the 1980s became one of the first daytime courtroom judges for several years as Judge Mills Lane. Ray Liotta, yes, I know, mostly a movie star, but he also had TV performances down the stretch, including Shades of Blue opposite Jennifer Lopez on NBC, and last year, probably his best television performance in the Apple TV Plus miniseries, The Blackbird. Stuart Margolin, for many years the pal on The Rockford Files opposite James Garner. His brother Arnold Margolin was one of the key people on Love American Style. Stephen Twitch Boss, the So You Think You Can Dance contestant, married another contestant on that show, and then later on spent 9 years with Ellen DeGeneres on The Ellen DeGeneres Show. Also made appearance on Jennifer Hudson's program, too. He died, of course, by suicide several weeks ago. Daytime television was very special when he did his thing as both DJ and dancer. One of the best investigative reporters around, Drew Griffin, award winner for many years with CNN. He passed away a few weeks ago. And so did one of the great character actors on film and television, Nehemiah Persaud. He also was in a Twilight Zone episode. He starred in Judgment Night in that first season. Yes, we have a lot of Twilight Zone people from that first season who passed away this year. Nehemiah, no matter where you saw him on television, comedy or drama, he was always terrific. So was Henry Silva, another member of the Character Actor Club who passed away this year. He was also involved in shows like The High Chaparral as a co-star. He always was terrific. And finally, William Hurt. The Oscar winner for Kiss the Spider-Woman got his start on PBS on an episode of Great Performances called Verna, USO Girl, opposite Sissy Spacek. It was one of their few made-for-TV movies. Hurt was terrific and turned out to be the linchpin, the ground point of a marvelous career, first in television and then in film, with movies like Kiss the Spider-Woman and Children of a Lesser God and Broadcast News. He was a marvelous, marvelous actor. And there you have it, the people in front of, behind the television camera, who passed away this year. We remember them all, the great contribution they made to our viewing and your viewing. One way or another, they made a difference in the world of television. And we'll remember them always. When we come back, another opportunity to win our classic trivia segment. And we'll start a brand new feature. It's a little bit on the personal side, something I'd like to see. We'll get to that after we pause after the bottom of the hour for web identification. This is the best internet radio on the planet, www.blogtalkradio.com, Spreaker.com, and Tune.com. Together, reaching over 75 million listeners around the world every month and growing. If you love great morning radio, check out Kings in the Morning. He's back tomorrow, Jay King and crew. That's tomorrow at 11 a.m. Eastern, 8 a.m. Pacific on Blog Talk Radio. It's Kings in the Morning, Jay King and his crew. They will make sure that your 2022 wraps up beautifully and get started on 2023. Kings in the Morning, that's tomorrow, 11 a.m. Eastern, 8 a.m. Pacific, one of the longest-running features around here on Blog Talk Radio. And remember, best feature 24/7 every day on YouTube, available on smart TV sets, smart devices, and multi-channel bundles. Welcome back to the second half of Tomorrow Be Televised, our next last episode of the year on the day after Christmas, last day of Hanukkah, first day of Kwanzaa, 2022. Simon Alphon with you live from New York. Welcome to those just joining us after the bottom of the hour, 29 degrees. We expect to maybe hit 30 by the time we get done here in the New York metro area. And it looks like we are going to warm up starting tomorrow. We're supposed to get into the upper 30s, mid-40s on Wednesday, and then the 50s the rest of the week. And we may have not only a very warm New Year's Eve, one of the warmest in a long time, upper 50s, maybe 60 degrees, but maybe one of the wettest. We'll keep posted, and we'll let you know about that possibility on Friday's show, our final one of the year. By the way, we hope on Friday to have Juan Ayala, the wonderful Media Village columnist and the host of the popular Multicultural TV Talks that he does on a regular basis. And we may even try to get Ed Martin as well. Ed is still recuperating from a big cold that he had over this past week, and we hope we can have both Juan and maybe Juan and Ed on Friday's show. So that's Friday, 3 p.m. Eastern, New Pacific, right here on Tomorrow Be Televised. In a moment, we'll kick off a brand-new feature we call Something I'd Like to See. But first, we're going to give you one more chance, particularly for those who just joined us, to answer our classic trivia question of the week. We offered the question originally last Monday at this time, so here we go. Again, if you're first with the correct answer, you will win Taylor Swift's wonderful CD, Speak Now, one of her best, and from our recent guest, famed TV episodic director and theater director, Sheldon Epps. His new book, My Own Directions, A Black Man's Journey to American Theater, published by McFarlane, available through Amazon. They can be yours if you know the answer to this question. On The Walking Dead, Rick Grimes was sheriff at what location? We need the exact place and the state. If you know the answer, email me, simonapple04@yahoo.com. That's simonapple04@yahoo.com. Remember to enclose your name and where you're emailing from. And if you first put the correct answer, you will win our two prizes. If we don't get a winner by the end of today, we'll post the question tomorrow on Facebook and on Twitter. Facebook at Simon Applebaum, Twitter at UBC Simon, TWBT. That's UBC Simon, TWBT. Remember, in order to win, you got to play in, and all the very best. If you missed any or all of our episodes this year so far, this is the next to last one for 2022, we have lots of ways to catch up. One way is to go to our website, tomorrowwillbetelevised.onpodium.com. That's tomorrowwillbetelevised.onpodium.com. Another way is to check out our homepage, blogtalkradio.com/televised. blogtalkradio.com/televised. And a third way, check out our podcasts. Many of them, our new particular sites, our new ones have joined in this year, like Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, iTunes, Amazon Music, Verbal, podvine.com, the iRadio Podcast Network, Spotify, etc. They have many, if not all, of our episodes. Now, iRadio does have all of our episodes. They've been with us now. They're wrapping up our fourth year with us, and we always feel they were our first podcast destination and one of our very, very best, and we thank them for that. So lots of ways to catch up, and we hope you do so. Use the week to do it, and I think you'll enjoy. We had a lot of wonderful guests, a lot of wonderful features. We were brought to a lot of people from many of the new services launched this year on smart TV sets and smart TV devices. I really think you'll love the range of guests and topics that we had. So check them out at blogtalkradio.com/televised, our podcast affiliates, and our website, tomorrowwillbetelevised.onpodium.com. By the way, hyphens between the words. So I hope you get the chance to do that. And we thank you, as always, for your listening and your feedback, too. We do appreciate it. Well, early this year, we launched a new feature called the Takeaway of the Week on our Friday programs, where we highlight a development or two that we think will impact and have dire and very important consequences for the way you watch and use television in the future. We're going to start a brand new feature today, and I'd love to get your thoughts about it. It's a little more personal. I call it Something I'd Like to See. Many times when I cover the world of television, I've been doing now for nearly 42 years, I observe something that gets me thinking. I'd like to see this being done on television, either for the first time or a lot more than it's currently done. So here we go with round one of Something I'd Like to See. And I think you're going to find a little more personal, a little more intimate. And again, I'd like to hear from you. You can call us, 646-652-2906, as I do the commentary, or you can use our chat room, SimonApple04 by name. Or, if you like, afterward, email me, find me on Facebook, LinkedIn, and Twitter. Go to our website. We have a question box. You can use that to make a comment. And if we use your, by the way, question or comment, you get the credit for it if you go through our website, tomorrowbetelevised.onpodium.com. This first Something I'd Like to See needs a little history. One of the things that television has done best over its existence is to showcase the culture of this nation live. An early way was in 1955 when Pat Weaver, the president of NBC and one of the most innovative, forward-thinking executives in the history of this medium, decided, let's do a 90-minute Sunday afternoon program at least twice a month, called Wide Wide World. where we use the best TV technology we can to show viewers the culture of this country and to go all over the place, sometimes with a theme, and originate segments live from all over, and maybe some film segments from other parts of the world. And let's really showcase it in a great, grand way. He felt so highly about the show that he had a composer named David Boakman, who was a film composer. He did the music for All Quiet on the Western Front, one of the great classic movies ever in the 1930s, to actually compose and conduct original music that would be played live while the show was going on live. And the show was hosted by Dave Garraway, one of the great communicators of all time, the original host of NBC's Today program. You can see episodes of Wide Wide World, including much of the opening episode back in 1955, on YouTube. The show ran 3 years, was Emmy nominated, won other awards too, and it was a terrific program. And over the years, it showed us a wide panorama of live action, everything from life on the set of a TV Western to Robert Frost, the famed poet, citing some of his poetry in Vermont, or the latest presentation at Radio City Music Hall, or life in the Grand Canyon, or on Indian reservations around the country. It was a great, great idea. And it was TV at its best. In the 1960s, CBS adopted the same idea for a project called the All-American Thanksgiving Parade. They were looking for a Thanksgiving event that they would show in the mornings as an alternative to Macy's Thanksgiving Day Parade coverage on NBC. And what they decided to do was they felt, oh, you know, there are other cities around the country that are also doing parades. Let's showcase them. Let's do live segments from Philadelphia and Detroit, as well as New York. Let's do a parade that takes place early in the week in Toronto, Canada. And because we have a Y5O, Jack Lord's the host, let's see if we can find a parade in Honolulu, which there was. And that was taped in advance. The All-American Thanksgiving Day Parade did really, really well. Again, it was a great idea to show culture, to show how we celebrated Thanksgiving through different parades. It was a wonderful alternative, and it ran for many, many years. And I'm shocked that CBS doesn't do it anymore. Now it's basically doing the Macy's Parade. They don't call it the Macy's Parade. They just call it the Thanksgiving Parade. They don't do a lot of publicity for it, and yada, yada, yada. In 1976, to celebrate the bicentennial, the 200th birthday of this country, CBS, NBC, and ABC decided, let's take the Wide Wide World approach. Let's do 19, 20 hours from, let's say, 7 o'clock, 8 o'clock in the morning till midnight, and let's give you, the viewer, the widest panorama possible of how we're celebrating this bicentennial. The big bombastic ways we're showing it with parades, the tall ships entering New York harbors, the fireworks at night, to the quiet moments, how small towns celebrated, how Indian reservations celebrated, how states like South Dakota and Oklahoma and Iowa and Montana and Washington State, how they celebrated this amazing accomplishment as a nation. And again, it was great television using state-of-the-art transmission and technology. With all that in mind, I was watching television this Christmas weekend, on Christmas Eve, especially Saturday night, and I'm thinking, we don't have a lot of choice, even though we have so many television networks, broadcast, cable, multicast, mega content services, and services on smart TV sets and smart devices, multi-channel phones, we really don't have something that can really bring us together as a country. We don't. We have movies. We have reruns of original shows that may have premiered earlier in the week or the month. And we have maybe a football game, a college football game, the Hawaii Bowl on ESPN. And there was the pro football game that was on Saturday night. And that's pretty much it. So here's something I'd like to see, going back to those Wide Wide World and All-American Thanksgiving Day and bicentennial things. What if we had some network, broadcast, cable, multicast, mega content, etc. What if at least one programming service took the time to do a live 2-hour, 3-hour primetime special which showcases how we as a nation celebrate Christmas? And let's throw in Hanukkah and Kwanzaa and the other holidays this season too, to show how we celebrate it in the big cities like New York and Washington, D.C., and Philadelphia and Boston and San Antonio, Texas, and Dallas and Los Angeles and San Francisco, but also in the smaller cities and suburbs, how we celebrate at home, how we decorate our homes and apartments, how we take time out to give to others through soup kitchens or special deliveries, or how we have special ceremonies at churches and synagogues all over the country to celebrate Christmas Eve. What if we had, let's say, a live edition of the Great Christmas Lights Light, whose producer was on, Brady Cunt was on this program a few weeks ago? Wouldn't it be great if we had a live Christmas Eve special that showcased all of that and more, that was inventive, that used the technology, the satellite, the GoPro, the drone technology that we have, and showcase the full spectrum of how we celebrate, how we mark Christmas Eve, and do it live? I think it would be amazing for this medium. And I think it would draw a really great audience and certainly great sponsorship. And incidentally, the CW last night, without a lot of attention, did the kind of show that I'd like to see. It was called Christmas Across the USA. It was on from 8 to 10 p.m. last night, Christmas Day night. And it was the same idea. Here's how we mark. Now, why can't we do that live instead of tape? It would be really, really wonderful. And I think it would really bring us together at a time when we are so divided in so many different ways. I think it would bring us all together. Wouldn't you like to see how African Americans, Latinos, Asian Americans, Native Americans, etc., celebrate Christmas at Christmas Eve live? Be part of their joy, be part of their celebration, bring their celebration into our homes so we can enjoy it with them. And to be inspired by the many, many ways around the country that people are giving to those who are less fortunate. I think it would be a wonderful use of TV at its best. And it could be interactive. Why not? The technology is out there. So how about it, TV world? Live programming on Christmas Eve, a 2 or 3 hour prime time special. Maybe a simulcast. So not just one programming service has it, but since we're in simulcast mode for a lot of projects these days, bring it to other services as well live so it gets the maximum audience. Live Christmas Eve programming, a true celebration of one of the great occasions every year on our planet, our corner of the planet. That's something I'd like to see. How about you? Well, I'd like to hear from you. We have a few minutes. You can call me right now, 646-652-2906. That's 646-652-2906. Or you can use our chat room, SimonApple04 by name. Love to hear you. And if you're shy about phone or the room, email me, SimonApple04@yahoo.com. It's SimonApple04@yahoo.com. Make sure you enclose your name and where you're emailing from. And I'll tell you what, we'd love to have feedback, and we'll showcase the feedback on upcoming episodes for this feature. And if you, by the way, have something you'd like to see on television, use that same way, email or social media to contact me. And if we use your suggestion on the air, you get the credit. So I'd love to hear what you think about this new feature. Something I'd like to see. In this case, a live Christmas Eve program that brings us together, that moves and inspires us and empowers us to celebrate one of the great occasions that the world celebrates every year. I'd really love to see it. And I'd like to hear from you. So provide the feedback, folks. And again, if there's something you'd like to see and you want me to express it through this feature, this new feature, you know, contact me. Email me, simonapple04@yahoo.com, at simonapple04@yahoo.com. Make sure you enclose your name and where you're emailing from. And if we use this suggestion on the air, you're something you'd like to see, we will, and you get the credit. We're going to do another one of these, by the way, next week on one of our episodes, either Monday or Thursday, because there's something I'd like to see smart TV sets and smart TV devices do. So we'll do that either on next Monday's show or next Friday's show, next Thursday's show. So again, next week, we're going to kick off our 2023 with episodes on Monday, a week from today, January 2nd, and on January 5th. Our January 5th episode, by the way, will be 2 hours in length. We already have two guests set to go. One of them is the co-chief executive officer of a venture that I have a hunch you're going to be hearing a lot more about this coming year. It's called Best Ever Channels. It is a group of channels. Some have original programming on them. Some have library or archive content. The person behind his name is Jonathan Barbato, and you'll hear him. And we have a wonderful actress who will wrap up the program in our 4:30 Eastern. That's 1:30 p.m. Pacific half hour. She is one of the new Mayfairs on the new AMC series Anne Rice's Mayfair Witches that will be premiering that Sunday night, I believe. That's January 8th on a simulcast that includes AMC, AMC Plus, Sundance TV, IFC, and BBC America, the wonderful Annabeth Gish. She'll be with us on our Thursday, our first Thursday episode of 2023. So that's a special two-hour episode. That's a week and a half from now. That's January 5th. Again, noon to 2 p.m. Eastern, and that will be, noon to 2 p.m. Pacific time. That's 3 to 5 p.m. Eastern time. That's on Thursday, January 5th, right here on Tomorrow Be Televised, one of our two episodes to kick off 2023. And incidentally, on both shows, Monday and Thursday, we hope to have a coverage of CES 2023 that will be taking place that week in Las Vegas. So we're going to try to get somebody who is covering CES that week to be with us on the program. So we'll keep you posted about that. And as I said, we hope on Friday's show, which is our next episode and our final episode of 2022, we will have Juan Ayala, Media Village columnist and the host of the growing popular multicultural TV Talks video series. He has a great job on it, where he has executives and talent from popular TV shows featuring people of color or produced by people of color. And also, we also hope to have maybe Ed Martin as well, who is the chief TV critic of Media Village, the place I write for on the web, the Media Leadership website. And incidentally, Ed, I should point out, I want to let you know that Ed, who we were hoping to have on last week, couldn't do it because he's recuperating from illness. But we hope he is feeling much, much better today. I want to give you, while we have a moment, Ed Martin's top 25 shows of this year. This is his picks. Ed is one of the top TV critics in the country. He's also involved with the Critics' Choice Awards and the Critics' Choice Association. This is his top 25 shows of 2022. Pam and Tommy on Hulu, Andor on Disney+, Bad Sisters on Apple TV+, Home of the Dragon on HBO, The Dropout on Hulu, Winning Time, that's Los Angeles Lakers' series on HBO that will go into second season this year. This Is Going to Hurt on AMC+. Dahmer, the Netflix miniseries from Ryan Murphy. Days of Our Lives, that's the daytime drama that was that started the year on NBC, finished the year on Peacock. Dancing with the Stars on Disney+, formerly ABC. Garcia on HBO Max. America's Got Talent on NBC. Young Sheldon on CBS. Better Call Saul, the final season on AMC. Abbott Elementary, second season on ABC. It was about a year ago that we had the executive producers on this very program. Ghost on CBS. Reservation Dogs on FX on Hulu. The White Lotus on HBO. Merle, this is a show that is a sleeper show on Netflix. The Good Fight in its final season on Paramount Plus, The Bear on FX, Euphoria on HBO, The Offer on Paramount Plus, that's the one about the making of The Godfather, Reboot, the new series from Stephen Leviton of Modern Family fame on Hulu, and Evil, first on CBS, and its last 2 years really doing great on Paramount Plus. That's Ed Martin's top 25 shows of the year, and I hope we can have him and Juan, or at least Juan, on our show Friday. So keep posted on social media. We'll let you know for sure. In any event, that's coming your way on Friday. And then again, our next episodes, our first of 2023, will be next Monday and next Thursday. And joining us on a Thursday special two-hour edition, that's on January 5th, will be Jonathan Bovado from Best Ever Channels. He's the co-chief executive officer of this very interesting enterprise. And the wonderful actress, Annabeth Gish. She's one of the Mayfairs on Anne Rice's Mayfair Witches that begins next month on AMC and AMC Plus. And is getting a simulcast treatment on Sundance TV, IFC, and BBC America with the first episode. I'd love to hear what you thought about our new features, something I'd like to see. Also, like to hear what you thought about our Tomorrow We Televised members. So we love hearing from you, and we really do appreciate it. Remember, if you came in late on today's program, want to catch up on episodes you missed, go to the homepage, blogtalkradio.com/televised. Check out our podcast. They're available on everywhere from iTunes to Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Amazon Music, Acast, Verbal, Podvine.com, Spotify, iTunes, and other great podcast destinations. And on our website, tomorrowbetelevised.onpodium.com. We love hearing from you. We really appreciate your listening. We do it all year long, and we're going to make our show even better and better. We'll tell you how, by the way, on our show Friday. So email me, simonapple04@yahoo.com, simonapple04@yahoo.com. Find me on Facebook, LinkedIn, and Twitter. Also use our question box on our website, tomorrowbetelevised.onpodium.com. However you respond to us, we respond back to you within 24 hours. That's our promise to you. Why? Because what you say matters now more than ever. The views expressed are those of the participants. They are not say those of Blog Talk Radio and other distributors of this program. Andy Cho is BTR General Manager. Jay Sonnenberg is Head of Content. Website service provided by On Podium, the Ernest Sue Podcast Outpost. Guitar Fakus is our web coordinator. For Tomorrow We Televise, I'm Simon Applebaum in New York. Thank you for your listening. If you celebrate Hanukkah, have a great final day of Hanukkah. If you celebrate Kwanzaa, happy Kwanzaa week that starts today. We hope all of you had a fantastic Christmas, that you were able to spend time with your loved ones one way or the other. And we will catch you for our final episode of this year, Friday, 3 p.m. Eastern, noon Pacific, you know where, Blog Talk Radio, Speaker, TuneIn Radio, and all of our podcast destinations and websites. Whatever you're doing between now and Friday, please make it safe. Please make it great. And remember, if you haven't been vaccinated, see your doctor, check your medical situation, find out all the medical alternatives. There are a lot of them out there and more to come. And then make a great choice, your choice. Until the next time, stay well and stay tuned.